Good morning, welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, August 27th. My name's Nick, here in Melbourne. Starting with some positive news on the Australia-China relationship, our easily most vital economic partnership in the world. And it's been hit by a lot of negativity in recent months, dumping allegations, whether that's in beef, wine, barley, you name it, there's been a lot of issues there. Now, yesterday we had the Deputy Ambassador speak to the National Press Club in Canberra, and the whole rhetoric was dramatically different to what we've been hearing and seeing from, his boss, the Ambassador, which has been more about this wolf warrior diplomacy, including other Chinese diplomats around the world. It's been very aggressive of recent times. However, yesterday it was all conciliatory and much more positive and recognizing the mutual gains to be made with Australia and China working together in trade partnership. So they mentioned things like the importance of working hard to keep partnerships intact through a combination of concerted determination and joint efforts to make them thrive. He used an interesting phrase, drawing upon Adam Smith, saying, "We could serve as a classic case of comparative advantages that, if working well, would make Adam Smith chuckle in his grave. We could and should make it work the best." So that's some really positive signs there, and let's hope for everyone's sake that that does continue. Obviously, that will positively impact some listed equities such as Treasury Wine Estates, which was hit hugely by the last dumping allegation. On to the topic of payment companies. We're all aware of Afterpay here in Australia. It's worth more and more. Currently, its market cap's about 25 billion Australian dollars. That makes it look tiny, though, compared to Ant, which is Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba's payment company in China. So they're looking at listing in one of the world's biggest IPOs in a long while, probably the largest since Saudi Aramco. They're listing 10% of the company for 30 billion US dollars, potentially. So that would mean it's worth well over 10 times Afterpay. Why is it worth so much? Well, it has 700 million users and 80 million business users in China, and they use it for such a wide range of things, like payments, obviously, but then investments, buying insurance, paying bills. Alibaba, the online retail platform, that holds 33% of Ant, and as a result, they're increasingly directing their traffic, their payment traffic, onto this Alipay platform. On to renewable energy. Now, the famous Hornsdale battery in South Australia has just lost its crown as the world's largest battery. It has a capacity of 150 megawatt. However, there's been now the world's largest or most powerful lithium-ion battery has been unveiled outside San Diego in California, and it has a capacity of 250 megawatts. Now, there's a big push in California, which has been experiencing a lot of blackouts over summer, partly due to the high amounts of solar panels and the demand peaking, when the sun starts to go down. So typically, the California energy providers have, used natural gas-fired power plants to come online. And now, this is one of many new battery projects being announced in California that will hopefully shift more of these sort of peaking capacity onto renewables. On to the topic of hedge funds. One part of the hedge fund market are volatility hedge funds. These are strategies that make money typically by selling options and other derivatives and slowly sort of generate returns that way, hoping that they will not actually have to be exercised. They do get exercised, particularly put options that have been written. They get exercised when there's a big collapse in markets, and that is what happened around the world in March. And as a result, these strategies have really underperformed. Some are down double digits still. And overall, HFR, which is a hedge fund index, has found that overall they've lost about 2.4% to the end of July. Average hedge funds are largely flat for the year, with the S&P now up 2.5%, even after all its tumultuous trading throughout the year. So the VIX index, which is a really common expression of volatility in the US, that hit 82.7 in mid-March, which was a high, even higher than what was hit during the 08 financial crisis. So some of these volatility funds actually fell over. Some of them had to close. Others were really badly hit. One run by Allianz is still down 9.2% year-to-date to the end of July. Now, the funds that have been able to survive have actually done fairly well since. So in a normal market, or particularly one that's supported by quantitative easing programs by central banks, such as what we're seeing at the moment and what we saw after 08, you see a slow and gentle rise in equity markets, which means if you're selling these options or sort of insurance and stock prices, you actually are making a lot of money because you'd never have to have them exercised. So in addition to this, what we've seen as a result of all the high vol back in March and around that time is volatility is actually worth a lot more. So option premium is even higher than what it was. So even though we're not seeing that volatility actually come into play, the people selling the options are actually making more money than they were for the same sort of level of protection. So interesting times there in the hedge fund world. Moving to the markets now, the US has opened up for the day, up about 17 bips, NASDAQ up about 70. Now, here in Australia, not much happening on the news front. We do have Woolworths reporting, our largest retailer. And that is your early update for Thursday. Have a great day and see you soon.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invested.